Oh, mute
Sizzler.
Us.
Sizzler.
Every time.
Every time. And welcome, everybody, to Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash.
Balderdash.
I'm Sizzler Olson. You can vote for me this year as I'm running under choices and freedom of choices and direction and insurrection. And you're welcome.
Freedom.
And freedom. And freedom of direction.
I'm Popcorn Shrimp Johnny. You probably shouldn't eat it.
It's mostly mostly bread anyways.
Actually, yes. I love popcorn shrimp. Did you ever eat it at a Sizzler? I know we're talking about what happened in the last episode.
I know.
It was so funny. I was laughing. I was dying. Anyway, we can move on to better topics.
Yeah, we can.
Tonight on Beer, Bourbon, and Balderdash, Red Lobster.
Yeah. I mean, actually, we could talk about this. It's current because I was talking to a coworker today about this. You ever heard of Morgellons disease?
No. Is that the word of the night?
No. But there's this weird... How do we get in this conversation? Anyways, I was talking about a cousin that I have that I didn't know I had until I was 18. So my uncle knocked up a girl in his teens. She got pregnant, and the baby they gave away to adoption. And they were told that this child moved to Texas with a family or was adopted by a family in Texas. When I was 17, almost 18, this girl knocks on the front door of my parents' house. She is looking for her dad. She has lived in West Seattle her entire life. And she's my cousin.
No way.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I know. I have friends that know her. We have mutual friends, but we never met prior to this moment. And she's only like a few months or maybe a year older than I am.
Did she go to South?
Yeah.
Like you went to West Seattle?
Yes.
Ha. Huh. That's funny.
Yeah. And actually Trina's friends with her sister.
No.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so she met us and stuff like that. And then she finally met her dad, my uncle, which is my dad's brother. And then see you later. Never saw again.
When was that?
1996, 97.
Oh, I was hoping this was like yesterday.
I said I was 18.
I didn't hear that part.
And I shouldn't be drinking. What are we doing? What is this podcast? And so anyways, a few years later, I still had her number, and I would contact her maybe once a year and just see how she's doing. And she married this guy, and she moved, I think, to Eastern Washington. And she said, oh, I was on Inside Edition. Remember Inside Edition?
Mm-hmm.
Because she has this thing where these fibers that are almost like feathers come out of her skin. And I was like, really? She's like, oh, yeah, and whatnot. And she told me what it was. So I looked it up. And sure enough, there's an Inside Edition episode with her on it and her daughter. Her daughter apparently has it too. And it's called Morgellons disease. And they think some doctors thought it was like psychosomatic. Like these people are delusional. They stuff fibers into their skin. And that's why they get these sores and these fibers that come out.
Like they're doing it to themselves.
Yeah. But then Oklahoma State University took these people into their lab. And they tested it. They said, no, this is actually a real phenomenon. It's these weird fibers. They're not like hair that are growing out of these people's skin. And so they took one of them to a lab. So they pulled out this fiber out of this guy's hand. Mm-hmm. And it's like really super strong fiber. He even took like a chunk of skin with it. And it leaves these nasty lesions. And they feel like, you know, when it's growing underneath their skin, it feels like their skin's crawling and stuff like that. It's really weird sensations that they go through. And they took it to a lab, and it's not even flammable. Mm. It will not catch on fire.
That's insane.
And they have no idea where it comes from. It's not parasitic. It's
definitely aliens.
I think it's aliens. I agree with you 100%.
They're growing material for their spacecraft.
Yeah.
In humans.
So I found the video today. So it was kind of on my mind. And then, you know, seeing Allie again, I wish I still had her number. Wild. I don't have her number anymore. And that disappoints me because I'd love to catch up with her.
Allie, if you're listening.
Yeah, which you're not. I know you're not.
Go to bigbeautifulboys.com.
Don't do that. I'm not there.
Go to, that is wild. I never heard of that. I looked up a picture. It's kind of gross, if I'm being honest, but it's so weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's a weird start to this conversation. Sizzler and then diseases.
Well, I was thinking maybe she got roast. It from eating at a Sizzler is kind of what I was getting at.
Oh.
Well, the weirdest you just thing.
Get diarrhea from eating.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe.
Yeah.
E. coli.
Well, I worked
Chipotle.
I worked at one of those places.
So a Sizzler?
It was like a Sizzler.
Like
so
a Sizzler.
In West Seattle, we had a Royal Fork, which turned into a King's Table, which turned into West Seattle Family Buffet, which turned into the Blockbuster video that was in West Seattle, which is now at Anytime Fitness. So go figure. But when it was West Seattle Family Buffet, I worked there. And I'll tell you what, they'll cook those ribs on Monday or on Sunday. And if those ribs don't get eaten, they just get reheated all throughout the week. It was pretty gross. I got fired from that job because I couldn't speak Spanish like the rest of the kitchen crew. I came into work, parked in the back, and the owner was there with the manager, and the manager was Samoan. The owner was this white woman with, you know, a 90s pixie cut. Old lady, and she said, "I'm gonna have to let you go." And I go, "Why?" And she goes, "It's just not working out with the crew." I go, "What do you mean it's not working out with the crew? All I'm doing is washing dishes and putting the plates back out." She goes, "Well, they can't really communicate with you." And I said, "I live here. Like, like, what are you talking about? Like, they can't communicate with me." And she goes, "I'm sorry, it's just not working out." And I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And so that's when I experienced my first racism. Actually, that's the second time I've experienced racism towards white people.
Well, you weren't qualified for the job.
Yeah, because I wasn't the right race. I didn't speak the right language. So
that's true.
It was pretty, you know. So I empathize with people that experience racism because I have.
I'm not sure it's the same thing.
Yeah, no. I got beat up because I was called a cracker in middle school and got beat up because I was a cracker.
Shouldn't be such a cracker.
I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, dude. I don't know.
That lady from Spokane was like head of the NAACP or something.
Oh, yeah. Rachel Dozell. Remember? Or whatever. Yeah.
She did it. Why not you?
Yeah. I'm going to do that. I already got Wesley.
Commitment.
It's going to be Snipes. Wesley Sizzler Snipes from now on.
It's got a great, good ring to it.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? I feel like I've heard it before. Yeah, WS.
Let's drink.
Well, hold on. We'll drink and then we'll talk about a little bit more about things.
We can keep talking.
No, it's fine. It's fine. What are we drinking tonight, Johnny, for the Zabir?
Tonight we have an accidental surprise.
Oh, I like
it. It is from a brewery, but it is not a beer. I think I just saw the big can and bought it to try it because it's from Highwire Brewing Company, which I don't know if I had ever heard of, but they're apparently pretty large. You looked up their site. It's pretty big, and they have a series of seltzers called Mountain Water. And I think I saw Mountain Water, and I was like, that's awesome. It's going to be like a session IPA or something. I didn't bother looking any deeper than that. But that's what we picked.
Wait, it's not a seltzer.
It says this ale, is a beer to share with your seltzer friends.
Yeah, it says it's ale brewed with lemon and lime. So you're right. Man. You're still good.
Oh, yeah. I'm good. Never mind. Let's scrub that from the record. Sorry. I don't know. What's wrong with me? Oh, well.
There you go. Scrubbed.
Let's try it. So apparently they're just like fruit flavored beers. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm going to click on it and see what their website says.
Not as good as a sour, probably.
It says, this is a beer for drinking. Wow. Wow.
Put really, it down
you
your
really
throat.
Nailed it. A beer for hiking, hanging out, and playing outside. Southern inspired with flavors of sweet tart. Oh, this one's the peach and pomegranate version. This is the beer to share with your seltzer friends. So it must be they just do like one-offs of this one. I don't know. Anyway, let's give it a try.
And this is a citrus splash.
Citrus splash. It's 4.5%. It's got a bear on it. I think it's interesting as a bear on it. It would make you think that it's from California, but they're out of Asheville, North Carolina.
Ooh, it's like lemon lime right away.
Whew. It smells like lemon drops, like the candies.
It does. That's exactly right. More lemon than lime.
Yeah.
It pours like a seltzer for sure.
It does. It's like
champagne color.
Yeah. I was going to say like middle pea color, but
middle pea color.
Champagne's better. Yeah, it's like
champagne. After you drink a couple glasses of water after you had coffee in the morning.
Is there a new champagne of beers now?
No, the champagne of beers.
All right, well, here we go. Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
That's nice. That's weird. Not a huge fan. Like it's
That aftertaste is terrible.
I don't know. It's weird.
No,
I don't hate it. You definitely hate it. I can see that in your face.
Oh, I don't like the aftertaste at all.
Yeah, the aftertaste isn't good.
You know what? It's super soapy.
It makes
me
wonder. I feel like it has that flavor of like artificial fruit flavoring.
Yeah,
where it's just a little bit like it's like that. I don't know, acrid taste in the back of your mouth.
Yeah, this is I don't like this.
Yeah, but it's got no fat, so I'm drinking it.
No fat, only 5 grams of carbs.
I don't know, it smells nice, it just tastes kind of weird.
Yeah, we're duped. That's how they dupe you.
I could see how people would like this on a hot day.
You know, water tastes so much better than this.
Yeah, I don't know,
Coors Light tastes better than this on a hot day. That's how bad I think this is.
Yeah, this is not great.
That said,
I think it's probably, I'll see if I can find another beer.
Oh yeah,
from them.
Yeah,
we'll give those a try because
yeah, I think like, we should give them. This is kitschy.
Excuse me. Ugh.
Yeah, that didn't taste good, did it?
No, not good at all. they have a light lager, IPA, crisp and refreshing lager. They have a brown ale. Ooh, I like brown ales. Maybe I'll try to find that one.
Get the brown ale.
Yeah.
Well, it's disappointing. Super disappointing.
Yeah. But I could see how people would like it. I just don't think it fits our palate. I mean, people must like it. They keep making it.
A lot of, especially last summer, I noticed a lot of brewing companies making these type of seltzer things because they're trying to jump on that bandwagon.
Yep. Very popular right now. And they should. It's like, it's actually really easy to do comparatively to making beer. Like if you're making a seltzer, you're not.
It's
making me burp
and it's terrible every time it comes up.
I'm drinking it, by the way. I'm not dumping this out.
Enjoy.
It's only 100 calories in the whole can.
You're a trooper. We had a brown beer we could have drank tonight.
Next time. Well, it kind of, okay. Anyway. We'll give them another shot with an actual beer. This was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to try that other one, the pomegranate one, though. I'm curious if it's the same level of not good.
It will be. It'll be. Remember when we did those moonshines on the podcast a long time ago? Mm-hmm. And we got to one that was called, I don't even think I have the box anymore. It was so bad. It was actually, I think, called Mountain Water 2 or something like that. And it tasted like detergent.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
It was the worst.
It's like soapy, flowery, not good.
Oh, it was so bad.
So bad.
It was called Mountain, like Dew of Mount. I don't even know. It was bad.
I always wonder who likes those. Like, who drinks that? Who buys that intentionally?
Women. And people who eat lots of soy, I think so? Like those.
like soapy moonshine?
Yeah, they love that.
I don't know.
They love that.
Are you talking about the beer?
No, I'm talking about those moonshines and this beer. Geez.
I'm sorry. That aftertaste is pretty.
It's raunch. It's terrible.
It's not the best.
I'm so sorry, Highwire, but we're honest people.
Maybe we don't tag them on this one.
No, I'm tagging them on this one.
I'm curious, like, who the target audience? I'd like to, I wonder if they have any reviews. I'd like to know who is saying, I like this. Ooh, I wonder if they're on
Untapped.
Yeah.
They are. They got a 3.4 out of 5.
And that's
5,300 people. Let's see. What are some of the reviews? Let's really trash these guys. Let's just go down this thing here. No one actually says anything. They just give it a. This guy really likes it. Goes down way too easy. James Fletcher.
3.4 is not a good rating.
Nope. I wouldn't even watch that movie. If it was a 3.4 on IMDb, I wouldn't watch it. IMDb.
Nope. That's going to be terrible.
Yeah. It's going to be Velocipastor is what that's going to be.
Yeah. So I don't really trust Untappd that much because there's like a cult following of like who can get the most ratings, like who can check in on the most beers. And so it feels sometimes like people are just in it to game the system. And they don't think there's like
Russian
care.
Bots that are boosting the stats.
I think there's a lot of people like, I had this, whatever. I don't care what I rated. I just want to throw it in there.
Yeah. Let's see. Tap Hunter. What is Tap Hunter's a thing? I don't even know.
James Fletcher says, tastes more like a seltzer than a beer. Not necessarily my fave, but remarkably refreshing after a day in the sun.
I guess so.
Well, that's the way too easy guy.
Yeah. They already said that one, man.
James. You didn't say the whole thing.
Oh, though. I'm sorry.
You got to give him full cred.
What's going on? What's new with you? What's going on with you? I decided to start the show with Morgellons disease. And
yeah. Well, I don't have that.
Okay.
So, well, thank God. So that's good. What's going on?
You don't want flame retardant fibers running through your body?
No, but if we're talking about body parts and weird things, I did something this weekend I've never done before.
Yeah.
So this last weekend was a big project weekend around the house. Just trying to get things buttoned up before I come back to Seattle next week. And I cut the tip of my finger on my circular saw.
Ooh.
While it was running.
Nice. How bad?
Yeah.
Did you lose a finger?
It's just the tip.
Just the tip. Oh, that's not bad.
It was a lot worse. It bled like crazy.
Yeah.
It's healed a lot since then. But yeah, I was like, man, I've never done that before. And I've done a lot of stupid shit. But like, I think I was tired and moving too quick. And
yeah,
that's when I gave up and went drinking.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good solution.
Yeah. Well, I'm not using power tools after that. My finger's all bloody.
Exactly.
But outside of that, we had our post Wayfair party.
Oh yeah.
Last night.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
That's this place called the Timeout Market. I might have.
Yeah.
I did. And then there's a place in Boston called Timeout Market. I think it's a chain. They have a series of them, but it's like a food court kind of thing. And the food is all really good. And then there's a Trillium Brewery right next to it as part of the same complex. So Wayfair rented out the entire complex.
Ooh.
We had like 1,500 people there. And so it was like open bar.
They must be running in the black food. Now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
Let's check that Wayfair stock.
But anyway, it was fun. It was great. I mean, it was really nice, too, because like even the founders were there hanging out with everybody. It
look at that.
Wasn't
just because of the party, you guys are up 7%.
Yeah, there it is.
Good job. Maybe
it's because we outperformed on our forecast for Way Day, which was good. So it's pretty wild. In 3 days, we did something like $270 million in sales.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I think that's something like that. I don't know.
It's no lot, July of 2023, but
when what happened then?
Stock was at $77 a share.
Mm.
It's now
you should go back to 2021. At one point, it was like up over 200.
Holy crap. Yeah, it's April of 2021. It was at $339 a share.
Yep.
And now it's 72 today.
Yeah, it fell all the way down to like 26 at one point.
It's like the great Wayfair crash was in December of 2021.
Well, it was and it low just before.
Kept bleeding. It was COVID right there. That was a COVID crash.
And then
crash.
COVID hit and it like they exploded because of COVID. And then COVID ended. There's some things they did that I thought were wild. They're like, we didn't see this coming to an end.
What?
But you didn't expect that someday.
Yeah.
People will not have to buy a bunch of stuff and live at home. You didn't think that you think we're going to live in our houses for the rest of our lives?
They like, thought they were Amazon proof.
I think they did.
Yeah.
Amazon's but they right sized and they're doing well now, so we're good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Amazon's doing phenomenal.
I saw the job. Holy they crap. Always are. Yeah, that's their thing. Louise. It's fake money anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it's all fake.
Anyway,
all money's
what's
fake.
Up with you?
My mother-in-law has moved in.
Well, that's official.
Yeah, that's official.
How's that going?
It's going well, actually. She's quirky, but I already kind of knew that. She's not used to being around people after 20 years of living on her own. So it's a bit of adjustment, but she's handling it really, really well. She's basically a ninja. So she just walks in a room. I don't even know she's in there and like turn around and really? Like, she's like right there. Yeah. So it's just adjustments on both sides, but it might just take a year.
Shit. Forgot to put pants on again.
Yeah. No, I'm very conscious about that.
Oh, you intentionally don't put pants on.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, gotta give her a thrill first thing in the morning.
Do what I want.
and then I just been going over to her home that we're trying to sell by start selling in June and just patching and painting and pressure washing and all the stuff that goes in with getting a house ready to show. So, mm-hmm. so after, slow, I mean, after work, there's just so much to do. After mm-hmm. work, I'm driving out to Port Orchard and whew. Putting a few hours in and then taking the ferry back and, yeah. So I'm just doing that and spending my weekends over there, getting stuff done and ready. And it's just a lot. So, but you know, it's like for a month and then I take, you know, and then the house will go on the market. I'll take Nathan down to Arizona and, we'll start another big change in our life. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
that is a big one.
Yep. Pretty good though.
How you feeling about it?
I mean, the conversations I've had with Nathan is, you know, he knows too that this house is too much of a safety net. He needs to go. You know, he acts like he doesn't want to be around us. Not because he doesn't love us or anything like that. It's just because he knows too that like he's got to go, mm-hmm. you know, and I've had that conversation with him. I was like, you got to go. You know that, right? And he goes, yeah, I want to go. He goes, I can't. I can't have the safety net. I got to go figure it out for myself. And I go, yep, mm-hmm. you do. And so this is yep. a good thing, but I'm going to miss him like crazy. He's,
of course
he's my buddy. So he's always been my buddy. I've always called him buddy. And, you know, so it's hard to see him go, but he does need to go. And as a parent too, it's kind of like, it's scary. Because, you know, is he going to end up doing something stupid? Is he going to blow the whole thing? Is he going to, but that's kind of the part of learning your life, mm-hmm. you know, and you just hope that they just don't make such terrible mistakes that they, you know, have lifelong consequences, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's, you know, that's the road we all walk on. That's the thing that the tension we all live with.
Like, you know, trying to get out of the nest.
Yep. And it is. So it's good. You know, Sophia's over at my dad's and I think he's enjoying having company. And Sophia's easy. She's very helpful. Yeah. And, you know, so she's an easy one to have mm-hmm. around. And Sophia doesn't take advantage of living here. She works very, very hard. She's on the dean's list at school. She's getting, awesome. She's getting kind of like a scholarship because of that. She's getting money back from, you know, for schooling and stuff. So she works very hard where Nathan, he's just directionless. So he needs to go so he can figure out which direction he needs to go. Mm-hmm. So
but it took Sophia a little bit to figure it out too, though, didn't it?
Yeah. She worked for like a year and a half or so. And then she realized, no, school's where I need to be, which is what I was telling her the whole time. She's very she's a person who's tuned in into like academics and education. Like she's very good at like sitting in classroom, learning things, retaining that information, being able to get, I mean, she's very good at that. Nathan wants nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. It has to be hands-on. It has to be working with people. I mean, that's just how he goes. They don't always see it. Especially when I tell them, like, I think you'd be best doing this. They're like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And then eventually they come around because I can see it.
That's what kids do. You were yep. the same way.
I was the exact same way. I had Dana, though, which I think was good for me because I think I probably would have been very directionless and lost like Nathan if I didn't have Dana. Because I had something that I wanted to work hard for. I had someone I wanted to work hard for. You know, and I wanted a family. So I had future plans and Nathan wants those things too. mm-hmm. but he just doesn't know how to begin because he's here. So yeah. this is great for him.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, that's exciting.
Do you have beer trivia?
Always.
let's chime it up.
Yeah, I like learning new things.
Yeah, me too. It's time for John Harrison's beer trivia.
These questions are made up by someone else.
that is the asterisk on this.
That's right. Buzzwords, pub crawl, beer 101, or beerology.
Let's buzz it up.
Buzzwords. All right. Hopefully it's a good one. Let's see if I do this right. Is this one? Am I doing this right? I can't remember which. I don't have a good system for remembering which ones I've done. I should just set them aside. That would make sense. Question. What are you doing?
Just random rim shots.
All right. The foamy residue on the inside of a glass of beer is called long legs, grist, drippings, or Belgian lace.
Long legs.
Belgian lace.
Oh, I have some right here on my nasty seltzer. Does that mean like a dirty glass?
Yeah, it's a dirty glass. Belgian lace, also called Brussels lace, is the foamy residue of a beer's head that clings to the inside of the glass when the beer is drunk. Its presence is a sign of a well-made beer with good head retention. It does not signify a more alcoholic beer as the term legs does with wine. Head
retention.
Grist is the combination of malts prepared for milling during the beer making process and the origin of the expression grist for the mill.
Grist for the mill.
There you go.
Wow.
Learned a thing. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I really thought it was long legs because when you look at something, it's like, oh yeah, this has got legs.
And I yeah, but that like was but it addresses that. The legs is actually the like when you do wine and you turn it and
yeah,
you
that's
tip okay, it back yeah. up. Yeah, it's the alcohol. That's how you look at alcohol.
Gotcha.
You see alcohol content or viscosity.
Nice. Viscosity. Well, let's tall, do the
tall women.
Now that we're back onto our normal routine here, let's talk about the mystery. So John and I often do a bourbon at this time, but John had this clever idea, and we've done a couple of these already where he has given me glass vials of poison liquid.
Poison.
Poison. And he's numbered them.
And that's good.
That was good. And I don't know what it is. So I'll pour it into a glass and then I have to kind of guess maybe, probably not the brand or I don't know. Last time you tricked me and I thought it was some whiskey and it ended up being rum, but I got it in the end after I tasted it.
Yeah, when you tasted it, you knew right away. You said this is rum. It took you a second, but you knew.
Yeah.
Like you crushed it on that one. I was so proud.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected you to know what actual like brand it is.
No,
like, bourbons are not always so distinct that you would know.
Yeah. No, I know. That'd be some Houdini stuff right there.
Yeah. That's magical. Anyway, this is a fun one.
Yeah. It's a whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you what it is, but it's got it smells like. Smells like something from the bottom because it's got that circus peanut kind of smell to it that it's sweeter. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say this is a high-end one. I'll just say that. I can't give you a brand because I'll probably be wrong. It doesn't smell like Jack.
It does have that like salty peanut aroma. It's true.
Salt peanuts. Yeah.
Did you taste it?
No, let's taste it. Do you have it?
They do.
Okay. Well, cheers, man. I got a glass this time. Hey, all right. That was better than that was crap. That was crap. Crap. Cheers. It tastes like it smells.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bite in the end. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's pretty smooth.
Not bad.
Smooth and sweet. It's, and that peanut, that circus peanut type taste, candy peanut,
mm-hmm.
kind of goes throughout. Yeah, almost cherry, almost like a cherry too. Like fruity.
Yeah.
What is it?
This is Trader Joe's bourbon.
Trader Joe's bourbon.
This is like $16 a bottle at Trader Joe's.
Who makes it for them?
I have no idea. They don't say.
Oh, really?
So I tried it once because I was like, man, if this is actually not bad, this is a good one to have around for those people who are not discerning.
Yeah.
And so I've tried a couple of them. Most of the bottom shelf ones are in that price range that they're just not very good and I wouldn't drink them. But like this is one that's like, if you're just getting trashed and don't care, go for it. It's fine. This would be like a decent bottom shelf bourbon to have for making cocktails.
Wait, hold on. Is this the one that says Kentucky bourbon straight whiskey on the bottle?
I think so.
Like yes. A round label.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a Buffalo Trace product.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's why it's good.
Yep. It comes from their Barton 1792 distillery, which makes their other bourbons like 10 High, Very Old Barton, and 1792 Ridgemont Reserve, which is also what oftentimes Kirkland gets in their small batch Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So they basically make for these other retailers this kind of whiskey. But yeah, it's sweet.
It's called Contract Distilling.
Yep. 45%, $15.
Yeah, there it is. It's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd drink it if it was, you know, I wouldn't turn my nose away from it. But, you know, there's other things that are better.
There are. So I like trying these sorts of things, too. Yeah. Like, I like trying them blind because it's very easy to be swayed by the label or the story. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know anything about the thing you're drinking, it becomes a much more honest conversation. I just appreciate that.
That's true.
That's all.
Yeah, not bad. All. Well, good job, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
You know what time it is? It's been a long time.
Word trivia. Let me get my Google machine. Do people like this?
What?
Do people like this nonsense that we do?
I don't care. I do it for us. I think it's fun. I laugh every time.
It is pretty fun.
Okay. No, as long as we're having fun.
I don't mean the jingle. I mean, like, do they want to know the weird words of the day?
I think it's just a fun thing because Balderdash was a game. Okay, so the reason why we do this is because this was a game called Balderdash.
Yeah.
And you got it. You got a word. And sometimes it was a real made up word, but most of the time they had definitions to them.
I thought they were always real words.
Some of them weren't because whoever was the person that got to say that one sounds best was, thought that word sounded the best. So it wasn't always closest to the definition.
It's been a long time since I've played, so I don't know.
Either way,
I could be wrong.
Because this is beer, bourbon, and Balderdash, I thought we'd just incorporate a bit of that essence of the game Balderdash. So the Balderdash word tonight is wonga wonga.
Wonga wonga.
Wonga wonga. What is wonga wonga?
That's not an actual word.
It sure is.
Wonga wonga.
Yes.
Is that the...
Don't be racist.
I wasn't going to.
Wonga wonga.
Is that the safety strap on a bungee jumping cord?
Yes. That's absolutely correct. No, it's not.
I have no idea. It sounds like an action.
Does it?
Yeah, like I think so. I did a wonga wonga, like a walkabout.
No, it's not.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, stay tuned to the end of the show when I reveal what wonga wonga means.
All right. So
are you excited?
I am. I'm so excited. Wonga wonga. I'm so excited. I want to Google it. I have the Google.
No, you
can't. I'm not going to. I know the rules to this.
Yeah, don't
game.
Do it yet. Okay.
I was looking at what the rules of Balderdash was, and the rules are that you get a card with a word on it, and they're actual words, and everybody tries to write a definition for that word, and included in the definitions that get read is the actual definition, and you win a point if you get them to choose your definition as the actual definition, your made up one.
Gotcha.
So the goal is to like make up realistic sounding definitions of words.
Oh, that's even funner.
Yeah.
I wish I could find an online version of that and we just play that.
No, there is one.
Oh,
Balderdash app.
Oh.
Balderdash.app.
Yeah, how much do I have to pay for that?
Let's see. Well, it looks like it's free.
What is it? Balderdash.
Dot app.
Dot.
Choose your username. App. What's my new username?
Oh.
I thought we made up one. Oh, well. Desired number of rounds. 3.
My username is Sizzler.
Oh, 10 to, okay, no fives.
I need at least 3 players to start. Invite your friends. Okay, we can't do this right now. But
yeah, we can't do this right now.
We'll do it sometime later.
Nedzel 307. Okay, good times.
All right.
Good word. Wonga wonga.
Wonga like wonga. It. So the topic tonight is something that I used to do a lot years ago, especially around the time that the kids were born. And then I stopped for a long while. And this year I thought about picking it back up because I really kind of needed, to focus. I needed help focusing. And I know this is something that you've kind of done off and on too. Mm-hmm. And that's journaling. Mm-hmm. And I know this might sound like a really kind of like, oh God, topic, but I find it when I do it, especially daily, it's super helpful. And it kind of really boosts like my whole day. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you like the influencer, like every morning I wake up and I stretch for 5 minutes. Then I take a hot sauna with my sauna hat and drink a cup of apple cider tea while I meditate on my life. And then I journal for 30 minutes. I don't do any of that. Mm-mm. It's shit, shower, shave, go to work.
Stretch myself.
Have a cup of coffee, journal. And sometimes it's reading and then journaling.
Yeah.
And that's how I do it. So, but how do you do it?
Mostly it's in the morning when I get up in the morning, pour my coffee, and then I journal. Yeah. So I journaled a lot when I was a kid. That was something my parents kind of got me into.
It's great.
I wish I had those little journals. They probably threw them away. I was like, stupid kid. What do you know? And, I think they'd be great to read now.
Yeah.
But, so I used to do it quite a bit. And then I, for the most part, stopped for quite a long time. They picked it up again recently when I was kind of going through some struggles. It was a suggestion of my therapist that I should start journaling.
Yeah.
And so I started doing it. It really is like, it's hard. It can be challenging to get going,
mm-hmm.
but like, it's like, I think people are intimidated a little bit, but like, what am I supposed to write? It's like, you know what I started when I first started doing it again, the first thing I wrote was, I don't know what to write.
Yeah.
And then got that thought off my brain and then onto things. So you just like, you let out all the things you're thinking about.
Yep.
So it's very helpful.
Yeah. So you do it as a therapeutic tool.
Yeah, it's like my brain gets a little chaotic sometimes, and it really helps like getting those thoughts out. And then there's like those really like negative thoughts that allow you to creep in. There's something about seeing them written down on paper where you can be like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Like you get it out and all of a sudden you're like, it's almost like having somebody else say it to you and you having the response that a normal person would, where you're like, that's ridiculous thought. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I find that pretty valuable.
I do too. I use it for, so I did the same thing. Like I didn't know exactly what I wanted to write, but I did know that like I got chaos kind of going on in my brain, and mm-hmm. a lot of things are happening and I need to like sort stuff out. And I kind of wanted to grow, even spiritually, even more in my faith as well. So, I picked a book. And I picked like a virtue, and it was willpower or self-control. Mm-hmm. I found a really great author who mixed psychology with Christianity and what they both say about willpower and self-control and the benefits and how to have more self-control or more willpower. And then what I do is I'd read a chapter and then I just write out all my thoughts. And from there, You know, I would, you know, start praying. So I'd write out what I was kind of thinking and praying. And then from there, like, it kind of like opened up like a door so I could just start, you know, writing other things, especially as a, something would come up in a chapter. And so I would say like, oh man, I struggle with this. And so I'd kind of write my own like feelings about maybe what I struggle with or how I could do this better, or maybe some goals that I could do. And that really kind of helped me kind of just kind of get the ball rolling, where now, like, some days I'll just open it up and like, I guess I'll sit there, I'll go, well, I could read, but really this is kind of what's on my mind. So I'll just start writing it out, and there'll be like often bullet points rather than just like, you know, I'm feeling this way and this really sucks and I hate that I feel this way. And it's, you know, and so I'm just kind of like venting out all these kind of negative thoughts. So I can kind of look at it and then I'll be like, all right, well, now that it's all here and I can see it, like, how am I going to deal with this today? Cause I got to move on, you know? So then I, you know, just kind of like, you know, speak some truth to those things. Well, that's not really true. And you know, that's not true. And you're being an asshole here. And, you know, so it's a good way to kind of also self-assess, like, really who you are as well. Like, you're being self-righteous about this, or you're being really stupid thinking this, cause this is way off track or really not true. Because the bottom line is that we believe lots of lies either about ourselves or about our world. And if we put those things out and kind of think about really what it is that I'm thinking, you know, like, because of this, like, I stopped going on Twitter, which makes me feel a whole lot better. What I'm looking at on Instagram now is mostly memes that I'm sending to you or Max and Danelle. And it's just cause it's just funny stuff. I'm just looking at funny stuff now if I'm scrolling, you know, so just, I'm changing those kind of social media habits have kind of changed too, and trying to focus on things that I find most important.
Yeah.
When I did it in the past, it was very, faith oriented, and that's good. And as I was writing, I was always thinking in my mind as well that this is also something that will be, that could last if I keep these, that maybe my great, great grandkids, when no one remembers who I am, cause there will be a day where no one remembers Wesley Olson. It'll be,
I'll always remember you.
I appreciate that. But
just like Whitney Houston.
Yeah. And I, but I don't know. I know my grandmother's father's name. I don't know him. I know his name. I know a little bit about him. I don't know anything past that. You know, so one day I'll be past that. Or no one will remember Wesley Steven Olson. They won't. That's just,
does that bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. No. But if I had Casper's dad, because that's my great-great-grandfather's name, was Casper Holtz. If I had his dad's journals where he wrote, you know, whatever was going on in late 1800s in middle America, in Iowa, I would love to have that. I'd love to have that written history, you know, and just maybe get something. Maybe there's something in there, some bit of wisdom that I could glance from that. And so I think about that too. I try to be very honest in my journals, but I also think about, like, you know, this is something that maybe that someone down my lineage might go, wow, I really appreciate this. You know, this guy was crazy like I am. This is hereditary. We're all nuts.
You must be doing a lot better job at it, because I don't want anybody to read mine.
Oh.
I mostly hide them.
Do you have a key on yours where you lock it? Like a little girl's diary?
Yeah. It's pink.
Yeah.
That's where I keep my secret conversations about boys. No, it's actually, I have a whole bunch of these notebooks that I got both from Amazon and from Wayfair that I used for a long time.
Yeah.
But then my therapist recommended, like, I had a stint where I wasn't doing a very good job at journaling, and he recommended a journal that's like somewhat guided. I don't think I have it here at my desk. But it's called Worry for Nothing.
Oh, Worry for, well, I and think we've talked about this before.
Yeah. And the idea is that it like helps you sort of organize your things you're worried about so you don't worry about them anymore.
I like that.
So it's pretty handy. And like every day is the same, so it's very predictable. I thought it was going to be more like he called it a directive journaling. I thought it was going to be like every day was different. Yeah. It was like guided journaling process, but it's not. It's just a journal with a couple of questions in it that are the same every day, yeah. Which is fine.
Well, sometimes we need those prompts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those prompts help us kind of like get the juices flowing.
Mm-hmm. Love those juices.
Yeah, I know you do. Gross.
Sizzler juice.
Moist. They're moist. Those sound really moist.
Sizzler had a lot of juice.
Damn. Sitting in those metal buckets of meat. I also find that journaling helps my mental and emotional state. And that's been actually proven out by a lot of studies, both psychiatric studies and clinical studies about people who journal. They have less anxiety. They have better moods. They have better memory and comprehension. I noticed that when I started journaling again this year, my handwriting was shit, absolute crap. And as the months have gone on, my handwriting has improved drastically. And my hand doesn't hurt. Like it hurt the first time I started journaling because I'm so used to typing now or texting with my thumbs that I don't really write anything down as much anymore. And so now my handwriting is, you know, really drastically improved. And I do the same thing as you. I have a journal. I got pocket journals. I got all kinds of journals sitting upstairs.
You use whatever.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they're usually hardbound notebooks is kind of what I use. And I like ruled better than like bullet pointed or whatever, but you can get crazy with journaling.
Yeah, it's a whole industry.
Yeah, it really is.
And to really know how to stick it to you when you want to get better.
Yeah, and I have specific pens. I have these Zebra Sansa Dries, and I like the 0.7 millimeter. Like, that's how specific I am.
That is very specific.
Because they don't smear. These don't smear. And I usually write in black. I don't usually write in blue. I don't like the blue. I use blue for work.
A little racist. That's yeah. Okay. We won't talk about that.
Yeah. Blue people, you suck. I like black. Always been on black, Wesley Snipes. But I usually use blue for work related tasks and black for my journaling.
Is that intentional so you can keep them apart, or is that just like how you're most comfortable?
No, that's how I keep them apart.
Yeah. You don't want to give your journal to one of your property renters. That would be weird.
Yeah. It really would be, but I don't keep like work notes in a notebook. Like I keep it on a legal pad on my work notes or usually on a legal pad
probably smart.
Yeah. And something else. But anyway, so I actually, you know, kind of go all these things, and I even have like little field notebooks that I keep near computers and stuff. And I've tried to use journaling on a computer and on the phone, and it just, the typing thing just doesn't feel the same.
No, it's not intimate.
Tactile.
And I think that's, I'm the same way. It feels much more disposable.
Yeah.
Like it feels like it matters more when it's on paper.
Sure. And maybe even if you wrote something out that was like really terrible, like if you had a very terrible thought and you put it out on a piece of paper, you can go burn or tear up that shit. And that's a lot better than it being locked away. And now it's on your computer's memory and some FBI is going to be like, he wanted to what? To who? When?
I don't think you're allowed to do that to chickens.
Yep. Exactly. And
it's how I imagine that conversation going.
That's exactly how it went. Thank you for thinking it was about chickens. I appreciate that. So I did a little research, and that's just how I do it. So mine's mostly like if I read something, I'll kind of like write how it affected me. If it has scripture in it, I'll write out those scriptures and I'll do a little exposition on what that scripture actually is saying. A little hermeneutics, if you will. And I try not to do a big chunk of it, because then like I'm there for like an hour trying to write something out. And then just other whatever's kind of coming on my mind or whatever I'm trying to work through, I'll try to find a topic. I'll write it down. I'll do a little research. I'll kind of find some cool quotes that kind of will inspire me as well. So I do stuff like that. A lot of people will use it for venting, again, which is super helpful. Some people do it to like, keep them organized, you know, so they'll write down all the stuff that they have to do today. And I do that on that legal pad. I'll write down all the things that I want to remember to do today. And then I'll kind of check them off as I go. And there's something good about checking things off, but some people use their journal time as that. I don't usually do guided questions, but, you know, there's a couple of guided questions you can ask, you know, like if you're prioritizing things, asking stuff like what's a thing on your list that if you did accomplish this would make everything easier. Those are good questions to ask. Mm-hmm. It also kind of helps train me. So as I'm journaling, I feel more disciplined, especially as I do it every day or I make time to do it every day. Just like working out makes me feel more disciplined. It's not just I get the benefit that I'm exercising, but that I actually did the thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it just gets easier to continue to do that thing mm-hmm. and to remind yourself or to really, you know, I shame myself because that works for me. So I'm always, if I'm tired, I'm like, you fat piece of shit. You can go down there and row that fucking rower for 30 minutes, you asshole. And I will. I'll go down here and I'll just sit on that rower and I'll procrastinate for like 5 minutes before I pick up the handle and I just row. And then a half hour's gone by and I'm like, well, that wasn't
terrible. What do you do? Like, do you just stand there thinking about rowing? Like,
I sit on it. How's that work? And I put the iPad on because I'll watch something while I row because I just, if I just sat there and rowed lonely, I would just kill myself because mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere.
It's good. They say, you know, things like that are good when you're exercising. Like people who listen to music when they run tend mm-hmm. to run farther and faster.
Yeah. So I'll watch a show and then next thing you know, like it could be a 35 minute show. So I went 5 minutes past, mm-hmm. you know, because I just go to the end of the show. Yeah. And then if I get to 30 minutes, but it says I have 280 calories that I burned, I'll just go to 300 calories. You know, so I'll push myself that little extra so I can hit mm-hmm. some even number.
Yeah.
And so journaling is the same thing. Like
do you have a length, like length of time or a length of writing that you try to shoot for?
No, like if I'm going through a book, it'll be a chapter. So I'll read a chapter and then I'll write my notes on that chapter and I won't stop writing my thoughts about that chapter until I think I've exhausted all the points of that chapter. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then if there's scripture involved, I'll write out what that scripture was, like just a reference, Romans 8:20 or whatever. And then the next day when I open it up, I'll review kind of what I wrote, and then I'll actually write out what that scripture was, and then I'll do a little exposition on what that chapter's actually, what that scripture's actually saying. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do that, and I'll do it basically in bullet points. I won't say, well, Paul here is saying, put like, you know, fruit of the spirit is, and I'll put down whatever the fruit of the spirit is. And, you know, I might, and then I'll probably maybe do like I'll pray about it. Except I'll write out the prayer, like, you know, okay, I'm not very patient. I would like that fruit and I would like this fruit and I'd like to be more like this. And so it's kind of more like a self-assessment where I start seeing my own faults, but I also know that I want to be better, you know? So I'll ask, you know, for God's help or guidance to be better. you know, or, you know, I'll say like, I could have said that nicer to that person, you know? And so that obviously will put something in me that'll be like, I got to go make amends to that person and say like, mm-hmm. I could have said that a lot nicer and I'm sorry that I said it that way. So it does all kinds of things where it kind of really works in me where I probably would have just been like, well, fuck them. Mm-hmm. And that's not a great way to live either. Cause you know, you say that a million times and then you don't care about anything anymore. You're just hollow. So
yeah, fuck it. I'll just be hollow then, I guess.
So it trains your mind as well. So like it helps you reframe things. So like you can ask yourself questions like, you know, if something bad happened, what's the best thing that could have, you know, what's a good thing that came out of this, even though it was bad? Dana's great at asking me that question. If I fail at something, she goes, did you learn anything? And I go, yeah, I learned, you know, not to stick my finger in the blade. Yep.
I learned that when the blade is moving, it hurts when I touch it.
Yeah. And I follow a little thing during like if I'm writing out a prayer, it's called ACTS. And so it's like adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So, you know, kind of like my feelings toward God, and then it's kind of confess, you know, so confession is powerful, whether you're religious or not. Confessing faults, like admitting like these things, I need to work on these things, is very healthy. And then I do a thanksgiving. So I list all the things I'm very grateful for. And you realize like, life's actually pretty great. Like it's mm-hmm. not is bleak and terrible. Like this thing could be really, really bad. And you know, so you kind of take a little bit of inventory of how great things are. And then the supplication is just asking God, in my case, just asking God for help in these areas. And most of it is, it's not just asking him to help fix things, but you know, like help me be aware, like help me have a mind that sees, you know, what's, you know, real or what's really true, or, you know, help me be aware of my shortcomings in moments that I really need to be aware of my shortcomings, you know? So it's very self-reflective so that you can be better to people outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I usually take those things.
Yeah, that's great. We have very different tactics. Yeah. Yours is very structured and organized, and mine is just like a chaos of thought streams. It's like I use it just to get it all out.
Yeah.
And like there's no actual process behind it other than doing it.
Do you go back and read it and go over it?
I haven't actually, no. I just, it's more like the act of doing it helps me like settle my brain and then I'm done with it.
Okay.
Like it's not, for me, it's not something that I need to know later. It's just about in the moment, like settling my mind. And so like, I don't think I write anything. I talk about how I'm feeling a lot or like why I'm thinking. I ask a lot of questions of myself and I think that helps.
Yeah, that is good.
You know, like I start asking a lot of questions. I write those down. Like sometimes I'll start with those questions or like, why am I feeling like shit today? I don't understand this. And you know, maybe it's this. And it starts to stream into those thoughts. Like,
absolutely.
And getting it out and then like recognizing, like, I think for me, it helps me get to the point of it's not as big a deal as you're making it.
Yeah.
Like the way you're feeling is like irrational.
Yeah.
So but I have to go through that process to get there. I can't just do it just in my brain thinking you're being a ding dong.
That's funny. That's, I watched a short video of, Tim Ferriss. You know who Tim Ferriss is? The 4-hour work week guy. He's always life hacking. And he was talking about journaling and his, he had one that he picked up from another person called Morning Pages. And a lot of famous writers and screenwriters do this. That exact same thing. First thing in the morning, they write out all their fears, the chaotic thoughts, discomforts. They write them all down, so just so they can move on, you know, and kind of realize they do the exact same thing. So they call it Morning Pages.
Well, I've never heard that before. That's good though.
Yeah. It's all healthy. It's all mental health. You know, it's not good to have it all trapped inside, and not everything needs to be shared with everyone. But it does need to be like taken from here because your brain is not meant to store all of these thoughts. It really isn't. And once you can transport it from your brain onto paper, you've opened up all this space in your head now to actually like focus on things that you need to focus on because it's all been taken out and put here. And now it could just live there. It doesn't have to live in your head anymore. And again, I agree with, I feel the same way you do. And we should talk about this. I think it's, it might even be a middle-aged man thing that I've been trying to think about it a lot lately. There are days where I'm just
middle-aged man. Yeah. Thing. That's funny.
There are days where I'm just sad for no reason.
Mm. Yeah. I know those days.
And I'm just sitting there like, why am I sad? Like I feel like melancholy, I guess it would be. And then I'll go through things like, you know, I do miss my mom, but I don't feel sad because I miss my mom, you know, and recently, I think it was like last week, I was like, well, you know, Nathan's moving and that kind of sucks because I'm going to miss him. But I'm like, but that's not it. Like nothing was it. And it was just, it just is.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, I don't want to feel this way. I got stuff I got to do. But even if I wrote, I feel sad. It didn't alleviate anything because I actually wrote that. I wrote, Lord, I feel sad today. I have no reason why. Can you help me figure out why? I never got an answer. It just was just a day to be sad. You know, so as the day went on, it got better, but I think
sometimes we discount those emotions, like the impact of our physical health or our, like our hormone levels, because they change all the time. And I think we discount that as like possible impacts, and we think it's something that we did, or we're thinking about something specific, and it could be your body's just like out of line. And you got to get yourself
and men go through hormone changes too. If you're a man, you think, oh, that's a woman's thing.
No,
you're a fool.
Men actually have a hormone cycle that is daily.
Oh, yeah.
Which I find really interesting. And it's like lowest at night, like at around 8 o'clock at night. Yep. It's lowest. And in the morning, it's when it's highest. That's why men are always horny in the morning.
You get morning wood. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All those hormones.
Yeah. You're pumped full of it right there first thing in the morning. Got to get those juices flowing.
What's the difference between an enzyme and a hormone?
Oh, I know this one. You've never heard an enzyme.
Mm-hmm. Some sort of variation of that. Yeah.
It's a classic.
That's good.
Well, I think the bottom line, I wanted to get this out there, because if anyone's listening to this, you know, it's not a hard process to journal. It's basically like you can do like mine structured, but this is kind of how I've figured it out for myself. But like with John, you know, if you go throughout your day and you feel like your head is just always full, or if you wake up in the morning and you're just kind of like, I got all this shit in my head, I just need to put it out. And once you write it out, just try it. Even if it's like try it for a week, you'll feel like this relief that it's not living in your head anymore. It's here on paper and you can look at it. And then you can decide what you want to do with it next. You can either forget about it and just go, okay, now I can move on. Or you can go, well, this actually is important. I'm going to pick at this thing here and see where I go with this. And you can do this, like if you're a creative and you need to come up with ideas, just write down every idea that comes to your mind. 90% of them are probably going to be crap, but then you might find that one little gem in there where you're like, holy crap, that's a good idea. And then you can just start pursuing that. So, you know, writing things down is very good. And if you're a person who likes, you know, is always on the computer all day and is okay with taking online notes, do it that way. I'm very tactile. So I like paper and pen. And I think there's something with my brain and my hand that my memory sticks with things a little better if I'm writing it down. Like there's something.
Put your hand on it.
Yeah, there's some connection there that's a lot better for my brain than typing it out.
It's probably not uncommon.
Yeah. So anyways, that was a good topic.
Learn and grow by doing.
Appreciate that. Well, since we're going kind of back to our routine here, I do have a song for tonight.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
So this band is called Death by Lions. Ooh. From the album The Sheer Magnitude of It All. I'm just epic already. Just everything epic about this. And the Death song by is Lions. Yeah, the song is The Protagonist. Enjoy. Oh.
And that's funny. There's if you search Death by Lions, the first entry is a Wikipedia page called Damnatio ad Bestias. It's a form of Roman capital punishment where a person was condemned to die by wild animals, usually lions or other big cats.
And there's a whole Vatican obelisk thing that's attached to that, but we can get into that another time. So if you're listening to this right now, as the song starts and you boost us, all of your boost, your Satoshis, goes right to the artist, not to John and I.
Do it.
So enjoy it. The Protagonist by Death by Lions.
The Protagonist. Will be a familiar plot line.
good. Oh, I don't want to listen to it again. Mm. I mean, I will later, but not now. That was, Protagonist by Death by Lions. Pretty good. There will be a link on the show notes to them on Ellen Beats. And then if you boosted during that song, all the Satoshis went to them. And we need to help support these artists. They don't want to do the big record label thing because that is selling your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're described as roaring anthems embodying musical prowess and raw intensity.
Ooh, raw.
That's a lot of words.
Intensity, Sizzler.
You can buy their album for $6 on
what a deal.
deathbylions.bandcamp.com.
Fantastic. And thank you to all that helped supported our friend Karen with her GoFundMe. I'm going to put it up there again. But she had some people that did donate because of our
much
show.
Appreciated.
And we appreciate much that. Appreciated. And she needs it. You know, she's got some living expenses, some health expenses, and you know, it's the right thing to do for sure.
Yep. Come together and support the people that you love.
Yep.
Or the people that, like, somebody vouches for are wonderful people and should be helped.
Yep.
There are some people that just should leave the earth, and she's not one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that.
That's a little harsh.
No.
But.
Yeah, it's true, though.
Honest.
It's honest. And I want to give a thank you before we end the show here to Craig, who boosted us 100,100 Satoshis. What a guy, man. He's saying congratulations to 100 episodes. So we appreciate that, Craig. And we had some other supporters. We had user 2511565 on Fountain FM. Get a username. Gave us 50 Satoshis.
Maybe that number means something.
No, it's just if you don't put a name like in there.
It's assigned.
Yeah, it's assigned. And then at user 4338577 4, who should also just get a username. Sent us 11 Satoshis for episode 100. So thank you guys very much for supporting the show. Every little bit helps, of course. And from the last few episodes, we also had Kyron from Mirror Motors Podcast. He sent us 2,909 Satoshis. And that was during our hiatus. So thanks for supporting us during our hiatus there, where you got to listen to the quote unquote best of Beer Bourbon and Balderdash.
Maybe he was just like, oh, thank God they're not doing another one.
I'm listening to something worse. They really need my help. I think that's really what it was.
Yeah, there probably is.
Yeah. So
it felt bad for us. Like, oh, these guys, they haven't come a long way.
That's right. Well, folks, thank you for listening to episode 101 of Beer.
Can't believe it.
Bourbon and Balderdash.
Balderdash.
Tonight we had the, I didn't think was great, High Wire Brewing Mountain Water Citrus Splash. If you like bad aftertastes, you'll enjoy
bad
this.
Review. 3.5 stars on that on that app on Untappd is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. We also had the mystery bourbon of tonight was Trader Joe's Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, which wasn't bad. It was okay.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right.
I mean, it was exactly what it should be.
Yeah. I wouldn't write home about it, but it was okay.
I wouldn't kick it out of bed for eating crackers.
Yeah. I might. We talked about Morgellons disease, so that was cool. If you have that, let us know. I'd like to interview you.
Don't look up the issues.
Yeah. If you do, look up the Inside Edition. You'll see my cousin. The Balderdash word for the night was Wonga Wonga.
Wonga Wonga.
It is a large Australian pigeon that has white flesh.
Oh, a proper noun.
Yeah. You would have never guessed it.
No.
Yeah. And why only in Australia? Kyron probably would have got this because he's Australian. Only in Australia would they name a flying thing Wonga Wonga.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't racist, was it?
No, they're not a race.
They have Aborigines. I mean, maybe they thought Wonga Wonga was the name
Aboriginals aren't Australians. They're Aboriginals.
Oh, they're original to the Abra.
Yeah, that's right. The Australians are descendants of criminals. Yeah.
English criminals at that, the worst kind.
We're going to ship you down to Australia to hang out on the beach because you were naughty. Now everyone wants to go there.
Enjoy the 5-foot spiders. And the topic tonight was gross. Journaling and how it helps. How it helps the brain. And it really does. Again,
how
this
do you spell
is
Wonga Wonga, by the way.
WONGA-WONGA, just like it sounds.
Yeah, Google's not getting this right.
I got it. It was on dictionary.com. And and this is a value for value. Value for value. It's got many definitions. It's a value for value podcast.
I'll let it go.
We need your support. You can send that through our PayPal at balder-boys or through fountain.fm or Podverse. I really strongly suggest everyone use fountain.fm. It's a fantastic app. If it's too much for you, Podverse, Podcast Guru, both are very good apps. And I think that's it.
Amazon.com.
Don't promote them. Terrible.
I don't have to. They're already doing fine. My little promotion doesn't make a shit bit of difference.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Sizzler.